understand that we are on a real strict timeline, so I have this disclosure. You have a handout. And I found out after I put it in there, it shouldn't be for government stuff. So that I have a grant. Okay, and there it is, everybody. And Tramika Bowdery, raise your hand. Tramika is also on this. She is also on the grant. And then also our presenter disclosures that are, one is faculty. Dr. Donahoe, raise your hand. Okay, and then the other students who are now graduated, please raise your hands. Okay. And so I just want to recognize their hard work because this was their DMP project, one of the DMP projects that they had done. The purpose, you can read, and this follows what the section wanted out of this. And our objectives today, we're going to explain the educational values and benefits of community and academic partnerships in planning and implementing health promotion. And then we're going to analyze this community-based participatory action, research results, and the sociodramas that come from that as we did a community survey related to this particular program. Now, I'd like to make sure that you understand what this partnership is. Renee Frazier, who is also listed on there, is the executive director, also the now called the CEO of the Healthy Memphis Common Table. And this is a consortium of organizations that are working together. And their specific topic right now is obesity. But basically what they do is they believe that if they can corral the organizations within the community, that they're going to be able to change the way our community thinks about obesity and health. And so what she did is she wrote a little thing that I want to read a blurb from, and that is that we have been challenged by companies and governments in our region. And she looked at the economy, and she says here, the cost of health care is about 800 person above the national average in my Memphis Shelby County area. And if you use the math, the cost to healthcare in Memphis is $760 million more than it is in any other city compared to ours. In other words, it costs the business almost $400,000 more a year to do business in Memphis than it does anywhere else. And when you start to think about those kinds of impacts, you start to think that health is really important. Now, of course, the University of Tennessee, how did we get there? Dr. Peg Hartig, who is my department chair, also a co-author on this, is actually on the Healthy Memphis Common Table board. And it's her relationship with that board that allowed us to bring this in as a community project. Now, the strong desire to improve the population health is what they talk about. They talk about the big H and the little H. The big health issue is how do you get better quality and equity? The little H is how do you bring those healthcare providers along? Okay, how do you make them do what they need to do in terms of screening and those kinds of things? So they initiated this Take Charge for Better Health, and it's a brand approach, which it's branding. It is an approach that actually looks at the system of care, and believe it or not, they've already put out their first report card, and some of the most prestigious organizations did the worst. Okay, so the situation is that I'm a public health nurse option coordinator, and I have students that need to meet core competencies, and they need to be proficient in those competencies before they graduate. So I look around and I see who out there is doctorally prepared in public health nursing that can do these program analyses that I'm expecting my doctoral students to graduate and be able to do. They're not there. And so what we've done is we've established this relationship within our community, and they're expected to complete 600 clinical hours, but how are they going to do that? So they have to literally look at organizations, and we partner with other organizations like United Way, with their vulnerable organizations to look at those outcomes and to reanalyze those outcomes with United Way. We also call this community-based participatory research. And the reason we do is because of the types of data that we're coming up with. Now, there are lots of challenges, both for the students as well as for the faculty. Now, what does that mean? Now, most of us know that all good work occurs in a bistro over a cup of java, right? Okay, so sure enough, it took that kind of a relationship, and that's how I first met Renee Frazier, who's the executive director, and it was Dr. Hartig who who had brought me to the table. And they had an existing survey of their stakeholders, and it's in that existing survey they wanted to know more. And now, as opposed to the 20 advisory board members, they now have over 800 in their database. So how are we going to survey? So basically what we did is we brought the students to the table and said, okay, your primary purpose is to identify the gaps between the perceptions of the stakeholders and the community at large. And we want to develop your competencies along the way. And these are the steps we're going to take. The secondary purpose was to introduce language. And anybody who knows me knows that I go first for the language. What's the language? What can we agree on? Use that language to establish the connection between the organization and the nurses who are doing this community-based participatory research. And of course, that language had to do with healthy cities, and it was a huge endeavor for the students to go out and do the review of literature, what was available, what made it valid, what made it not. And of course, we had to determine the stakeholders' perceptions about that. Their review of literature was extensive. It was on healthy cities. And what they did a stepwise process. They actually met with the organization's director and took the lead from what she wanted, because it's not about the students, even though it is for me. It's not for the agency. So we had to listen to that organization. We had to, the literature review is extensive on healthy cities, and it was the director who actually suggested additional questions to be incorporated. So the students listened to that, they did that, and it ended up being a 52-page report. They took raw data, they analyzed that data, they created different kinds of charts and graphs, and I actually have that if you'd like copies of it, and I can email it to you. They also did a presentation at ACHNE, and I'll show you that. Now, the review of literature, each of the students are located in different states. There was considerable information on the healthy cities, and there were actually 9 demographic questions and 18 Likert-type questions, of which they developed, and it was approved by the executive director at the time, Renee Frazier. Now, the expanded survey provided more on the perceptions of the stakeholders. That is, the community has its ideas, and the stakeholders have their ideas, and we didn't have a clue about how far apart they would be. For me, the most important thing about this project was the complex clinical hours that laid the foundation for additional services through this agency. And so it's through these interventions that this survey that we were able to not only establish a relationship, but we were also able to move forward. Now, here's what we found out. And you can read that. I don't have to tell you, but we've got some, they compared the community to the respondents who were the stakeholders at the Healthy Memphis Common Table. Now, the stakeholders at Healthy Memphis Common Table, you're going to see, does not look like our city. Okay, let me give you a better view of that. They're definitely different. Basically, what this says is that the people who answered this were predominantly white, predominantly female, and predominantly real educated. And our city is not, they don't look like that. So our recommendations were to disseminate this information. So in case, you know, this dissemination part looked at the community-based participatory principles that are out there in the literature. And by developing these measurable outcomes, the students actually had to formulate a presentation that they could present not only to the stakeholders, where the stakeholders wouldn't be offended by this dissonance, but also where they could take that into the community and create some real changes. So they used the Healthy Cities criteria. They recommended that they survey the actual population in the city. And guess what? The board said, no, we don't have the resources. Okay, but let me tell you what's happened. That was the initial response. Renee tells me now that they've hired a project manager for health equity and neighborhood transformation based on this report. That person has the role of connecting neighborhoods and creating ongoing conversation about health and healthcare gaps in the community where they are. It also works that they will look at the focus group as a means of getting the most information from the community members, which means that they're going into areas that we had recommended. And then what she said, and I'm so proud of this, and I don't think any of my students have heard this, she said, "This work with UT helped us determine what is needed to do to support the need for more engagement with the sector of people not polled in our survey, but yet we want to serve." So they made an impact. Now let's talk about the strengths of this. The strengths were that they were guided by the development of the survey questions, and there were problems with the survey questions, and everybody could point out what they were. But more importantly, they had to reach these diverse areas. It was decided really early that it would be too costly to do that, and yet they went out and got a grant, okay? They went out and got a grant. Now let's look at the limitations of our survey. We had to do it in 2 weeks. Okay, sorry, but you know how student work is. You can't put it out there until it's right, right? Okay, we also knew that they had to have computer access. Does the majority of your population have that? No. And we knew that they needed things like understand. They had to be able to read. They had to be able to understand what the question meant. And then there was one other thing that happened. In an effort to create a brief survey, we compounded it. And guess what? It confounded the results. But we kept them in sort of groups, so it made it a little easier. But what they did when they put this person out in the community, they pulled and teased all those things apart. So they really are getting some pretty good data now. Neutral was difficult to interpret. You can see that was one of our, we had a lot of conversation about that. Now, we know that they're using an expanded survey. We know that they're using focus groups. We know that it's based on this notion of healthy cities, which is different city to city. Some people think it's parks, some people think it's access to food. So the notion of a healthy city, which, by the way, Denver thinks it's the healthiest city in the nation, although I haven't been able to breathe yet. So, okay. The report now that the students wrote, they learned how to do end notes. They learned how to do typical report fashion. They learned executive summary. They learned how to make charts, do graphs, okay? They disseminated it at ACHNY, and now we're doing a presentation at APHA. When you go back and map to what we've done, this is all the domains that they met and all the performance measures within those domains. They were able to pick out at least 4 out of each one of those. So I am extremely proud of this group. Now let's look at what that looked like. That was our poster. I know it's little bitty writing, but just know that it can be blown up. And then this is the report, and as you can see, it has a table of contents. They learn how to do that, because what are they gonna have to know how to do for their capstone? They're going to have to know how to do all this. By the time this particular group finished, okay, Renee was saying, "I believe it's within our sight to make this one of the healthiest of America's cities." Now, when your executive director, even though this was a problem, okay, we knew that the survey was limited. We knew these things were happening. But let me tell you what she says. "The partnership with UT helped pick Healthy Memphis Common Table, helped them pick the metrics for a dashboard, not just for tracking outcome, but what policy system and environmental changes are making a difference in the health and healthcare of our community. We engage our organizations, but now we're looking, because of their report, we're looking at farmers markets, bike trails, primary care services to the poor, and other activities all in this dashboard." Now the mayor of Memphis has given them a grant, is working hard for them, help them achieve their goals. So in conclusion, let's talk about some of these partnerships. The partnership that was established here sometimes comes over a cup of coffee, okay? And it's a desired need, our need to have students perform, their need to have free service. And it worked really well. And as you can see, the students were able to get the performance in, and the partnership is able to meet its goals, especially those future goals that they need. So thank you very much.